Please be seated. Please be seated. As again, it is good to be together in God's house this morning. Psalm 92, verses 1 and 2. And it says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord, and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness at night." It's loving kindness in the morning, and it's fresh every morning, and it's faithfulness every night, because He's taking you through the day. Giving thanks in all circumstances. Giving thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks from a thankful heart. A thankful heart. A thankful heart is one that is grateful and appreciative of who God is. Of who God is and the life He has given us despite the storms of life. Psalm 118, verse 24. "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." We're supposed to rejoice and be glad in it. I say that every morning. Every morning. As I look forward to what God's going to do and what He's going to use me for the day. You're going to say, "Well, yeah, well, you're the pastor." Well, guess what? When you go out, you're a minister wherever you're at. In your workplace. In your business. You're the minister. People want to hear what you have, what makes you different. And the Holy Spirit will give you the opportunities. Because if it's not supposed to be done, the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to be quiet. I guarantee you, you prayed up on your job or wherever you're at. God's going to move. He's going to do big things because you're a willing vessel. A willing vessel. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts this morning. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. That's Colossians 3:15. When the peace of God rules in our hearts, thankfulness overflows. Even in the darkest of times, we can praise God for His love, His sovereignty, and His promise to be near us when we call. Psalm 145, verse 18. "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him." To all who call upon Him in truth. Call upon Him. And He will draw near to you because you're drawing near to Him. Thank you, Lord, for your peace that transcends understanding. And your love that endures forever and ever and ever. There is such great peace and comfort where His Spirit is, the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. Especially when He has the freedom of move. And He has freedom of movement here in this house. Our praise and our worship of our loving Father puts a big smile on His face. Puts a big smile on His face. You want to make Daddy happy? Get into some praise and worship. Because he knows then you're not reflecting and looking at what's going on around you or what's going on in this world. Him. Make him the priority. He'll take care of everything else. Seek his face. In Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, Psalm 9, 1 and 2. Now, I used 92, I know. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. I will tell of all your works, all the marvelous things you have done. I will be filled with joy because of you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. He is to be praised for his works, for the marvelous things he does, and his name. His name represents who he is. His works stand for all he does. I will praise you, Lord, with all my heart. Real praise is not half-hearted. It says, with a whole heart. That involves your whole being. In Psalm 146, verse 2, I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath. The Passion Translation reads this way, I will spend my life praising you and singing high praises to you, my God, every day I live. Every day I live. Gateway Worship does a song called Every Day I Live. And it goes, I will sing for your glory, shout out your praises every day I live, till the world hears your story. I'll shout out your glory every day I live. Every day I live for you, every moment for your glory, every breath I give you praise. All my days I'm living in your grace. Every day I live to praise. Every day I bless your name. Every day I radiate your love. When you're into praise and worship, you can't help but radiate the love of God. Every day we live, we are to praise Him. Praise Him for His great love. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world. Knowing how much God loves us should give us such a confidence to trust in Him unwaveringly. Psalm 28:7, we'll amplify it. The Lord is my strength and my impenetrable shield. My heart trusts with unwavering confidence in Him. And I am helped. Therefore, my God greatly rejoices, and with my song I shall thank Him and praise Him. Unwavering confidence means you're going to be able to really trust Him. If you're up for going through a surgery, yeah, trust Him. He'll take you through that surgery. Boom. Quick and over with. And be back out. Running, climbing back up on the roofs again, which you shouldn't be. Uh-huh. Somebody knows who I'm talking about. Psalm 59, verse 16 and 17. Psalm 59, 16 and 17. I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense, my God of mercy. Our strength to make it through these days we are in comes from God. He is our mighty defense. Have trust in His defense, folks. And don't worry or be afraid. I know you've heard it, and I've heard it. I don't really want to talk about sports anymore, but this is a point to the Holy Spirit. Baseball, when there's a pitcher up there, and he's going for a no-hitter, and he's going out in the ninth inning, and they're going out, you know what the coach tells him? Trust your defense. You don't have to do it on you. Trust your defense. When they get it going to a certain inning, they always trust your defense. You ever see sometime on a football game, they get down to the end and coach has, you know, no options but to put his defense out there and trust the defense. And you always hear them say that he's going to trust his defense to win the game. We're going to trust our defense because he's already won the game. He's proven. In Psalm 62, verse 8. People, El Equipo Christian Assembly, people, always put your trust in God. Tell Him all your problems. God is our place of safety. Tell Him all your problems. Talk to Him. Pray. Prayer is talking to God. Abba, Father, Daddy. That's who you're talking to. Your Heavenly Father. Do not be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, continue to make your specific request known to God. And the peace of God that passes, which reassures and affirms the heart, that peace which transcends all understanding, that peace which stands guard over your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus is yours. Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, every circumstance and situation, by prayer and petition. But be specific. Hey, Lynn, listen, I know when you listen to this one, because see, me and her had a conversation. She likes to be very specific, so we can pray very specifically. So you got to be specific sometimes. Don't generalize it. Be specific. He wants to hear. Put it out there. Psalm 91. Verse 15, Psalm 91, verse 15. I'm going to say it my way. We shall call upon Him, and He will answer us. He will be with us in trouble. He will deliver us. He will deliver us. He will deliver us and honor us. He hears us and He will answer us. He will answer us and He will deliver us. Has He not delivered us? Think of some things that you've been through. And has he not delivered? Sometimes I think we just oversee them. We don't see everything that he does. Should he be saying, I'm going to do this next. I'm going to take care of that. No, all of a sudden he's just gone. We just say, oh, wow, that was cool. It's gone. Praise you, Jesus. You took care of that one for me. You're waiting to pull out down there in traffic. There's cars coming this way, cars coming that way. Ah, Lord, park that sea of cars for us so we can cross over safely to get out there to our destination. All of a sudden, the cars are all gone. You just pull out and you say, thank you, Jesus, and you pull out. You don't have Teresa sitting in this side of you. And she prays that every time I come up to the intersections. And if she's in this side driving and Vicky's on this side, Vic, is that not what she still says even from this side? Park that Sea car. Try it. See if it does not work. When you do it from your heart, the cars will separate. God will get you out there safely. I've even had people coming down in a car coming down next to me. He blinks his lights and he stops holding up all the traffic for us. I just look at Jesus, says, praise God. I love it. I pull up, I don't even worry. I said, go ahead, you praying? Because if Leah ain't around, I tell you, hey, Leah, you, Leah will testify to that. Because see, when Mom's sitting in the back seat and Lee's in the front and I'm driving, I, of course, they always praying when I'm driving. But he hears us. And he will answer us. And he'll deliver us safely. He will deliver us safely. Whatever Red Sea you're up against, he will split and he will hear you and take you through safely to the other side. But in Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2, it says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty. That is the force field of God's presence, whose power no foe can penetrate. You hear what I just said? Cannot penetrate. That force field is not coming down. You know how the force field comes down? Right there. Right there. It's important what you say. Because that's why a lot of times I tell people, engage the brain before the mouth speaks. Think. Verse 2, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, on him I lean and rely, and I know that in him I can confidently trust. We need to make that declaration every day. Every day you live. That's what we should be saying. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. Make that declaration every day. You know, the rich promises in Psalm 91 are dependent upon our words and meeting the exact conditions of these two verses. That's why he says to make that declaration or say what it says. Say what it says. You don't have to make anything up for it. It covers it all. He gives you the words to say. Speak the word. And what? And verse 1 means you have to choose to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Yeah, you have to choose it. It just doesn't happen. You have to choose to dwell in the secret place. And when you do, all the promises in Psalm 91 are yours. They are yours. How sure am I? As sure as when I push that button, it's going to say, that was easy.
That was easy.
That's how easy it is. Why are we making it so hard? Don't make it hard. Simply believe. Simply believe. He says, simply believe in it's me as able to do this, and it will be done. Don't let doubt enter in. Doubt is of the devil. Believe me, if he can get your ear, he's going to put and speak to you a lot. Don't entertain it. Shut it off. I don't know what to do. Turn the radio on. Caleb, positive music. Positive listening to. And nobody's going to sell you anything on that radio station either. Praise will steal the avenger. In Joshua 24, verse 15, Joshua, he's addressing Israel, and it's about a choice, and it's a choice that we all also need to make and declare. Because, see, he makes it. So he's talking to us, the church. He's talking to you. You personally. If you are unwilling to obey the Lord, then decide today whom you will obey. Will it be the gods of your ancestors beyond the Euphrates, or the gods of the Amorites here in this land? But as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I got that hanging over the entranceway into my family room. Into my family room. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. Keep saying that. God will honor that. You have a son or daughter that's out there and you think they're lost? Right there. He'll bring them back in. He'll bring them back in. As for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 33, Deuteronomy 5:33. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days. Obedience. That you may live and prosper and prolong your days. Psalm 128, verse 1. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. Obedience to God has great rewards. Deuteronomy 28. Verses 1 through 14. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully, and that just means don't sit back and look. Observe. You got to do something to be in observance of it. And His commandments, which I command you today. That was Moses speaking to the Israelites. But he's speaking to us, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. When somebody overtakes you, do you know what that's like? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 3. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, and the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. You got to bring that into perspective of what today these things mean today to you and in your households. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Keep baking him cookies, by the way, sis. That was good. Yeah, I got competition. That's why I went into retirement. Verse 5. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. 6. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. Verse 7. Doesn't even start with blessed. It just says, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee before you seven ways. That's a blessing. Sounds like even Psalm 91, you will see the reward of the wicked. You'll see what they get. They'll get what they deserve. Believe me, the wicked will get what they deserve. And if you haven't seen, they are, because they're starting to devour themselves. They're imploding. Not exploding, imploding on each other. Taking each other out. God is on the move, hallelujah. That's why a dear couple in this church, who mean a lot to me, bought me a shirt. And it says, right across here, it says, fear. Down here is the word real big, says, less. Okay. Fear. What did it supposed to do? Less. So that makes you fearless. Awesome. Fearless. Why not? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Makes me fearless. I ain't afraid of no devil. Yeah. I ain't afraid of no devil. He hasn't got no power over me. He lost all the power he had over me when they crucified Christ on the cross. He redeemed me. That's why I'm not afraid of the devil. Let me get back on track here. Verse 8. The Lord will command a blessing on you and your storehouses, your treasury, your deposits, your banking accounts, and in all to which you set your hand. He will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. Verse 12, the Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heavens. You know the streets are paved with gold in heaven. Sweep some of that dust my way. And he does. He does. You tithe, you're going to be financially blessed because the windows of heaven are open and that dust blows down to us. Of course, I don't think his gold even scuffs. I think they walk on it, it's just pure. Hallelujah. Again, the Lord will open to you his good treasures, the heavens, to give you the rain to your land in its season and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. 13, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. Amen. Excuse me. Now, Deuteronomy 28, 16 to 68, those are the curses. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not going to read all of them. You can do that on your own. Because, and I think you should. I think you should realize what those curses say. But let me just tell you this. In, what is it, Luke chapter 2? I think it's verse 10. But that is where we're told, good news of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you in the city of David is born a Savior, our Redeemer. See, we have been redeemed from the curse of the law by our Redeemer. And his name is Christ the Lord. Because in Galatians 3, 13, because I use this one all the time, in verse 14, Christ has redeemed me, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. He took on the curse. We don't have the curse. We have the blessings. Don't bring up the curse. Don't cause anything in a curse to come out. He's redeemed you from the curse of the law. And in there is, let me point out, sickness, disease, plagues, viruses, any type of influenza, any type of COVID variant. You've been redeemed. That's what I say constantly. I have been redeemed from those things. Christ took them on. You don't have to. Stand your ground. Stand your ground. Don't be moved. I think I'm starting to get... And you say it! Ah! Do you get my point? The Holy Spirit's trying to tell us, you know, we can bring it on ourselves by opening the door. Hey, open that door with your mouth. Praise the Lord. Or verse 14. All right, let me finish. Let me read that again. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon us, the Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Holy Spirit's in you. That powerful Holy Spirit of the Lord is in you. Why are you so timid? The Holy Spirit. Let him free. He's in you. Quit pushing him down. Let him out. Speak when he tells you to speak. Pick up the phone and make a phone call. Call your senators, your representatives. Pay attention to what's going on out there. They're trying to pass laws and bills and everything else that we don't want to have nothing to do with, especially those that are believers of the Christian believers. We don't want them going through. And you know what? Your phone call is going to make a difference. I don't know what to say. Let the Holy Spirit speak through you. He'll give you the words. You take the bold move and step forward and pick up the phone dial like that. You'd be amazed what comes out of your mouth when you're prayed up. Because the Holy Spirit will deliver. He did it for the apostles. And he ain't no respecter of person. He'll do the same thing for you. He'll give you the words to say. In Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2, David, in one of his Psalms, he writes, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. My victory comes from Him. David said, I wait quietly. That means he was in a patient manner. With calmness, without complaint or hurry, in spite of delays, without alarm or disturbance, peaceably. He waited quietly. His confidence was in God's ability to deliver the victory. And for us, our confidence should be in Him because He's already got the victory. We just have to enforce the victory that is ours. It's ours. He said, here it is. I already did it for you. What are you going to do with it? I think I'll just put it over here for now. Not going to do you any good. You got to enforce the victory. Put action to it. Put action to it. Verse 2, though, says, He alone is my rock, my salvation, my deliverer, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. But now you drop down to verse 6 there in Psalm 62. Yes, He alone is my rock, my rescuer, defense, fortress. Why then should I be tense with fear when trouble comes? Why then should I be tense with fear when trouble comes? That's a good question. Why do we fear when trouble comes? Don't have to. Our Bible, God's Word, says to fear not 365 times. That's one for every day of the week in this whole year. And then you start over again in January and you keep saying it every day. Fear not, He tells you. I'm with you. I'll never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. I got a hold of you. Man, He's got a hold of you. He's holding your hand going through this. Whatever you're going through. When we were born again, God did not give us a spirit of fear, did He? No. 2 Timothy 1:17. For the Spirit God gave us, Holy Spirit, does not make us timid, afraid, and fearful, but gives us power, love, and a sound mind. That means self-control. Self-control. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? He really isn't that big and bad. Been awful quiet lately. He's like a dog tied to a pole that does a lot of barking with no bite. The only bite he has is a spirit of fear that he uses. But no more. No more, especially when confronted with the truth. The truth has set us free from the fear of wolf. Psalm 56, Verse 4. And this is from the Good News translation. Good news. I trust in God and am not afraid. I praise Him for what He has promised. What can a mere human being do to me? How about Romans 8:31? If God be for us, who can be against us? Not the big bad wolf, because He ain't the big bad wolf no more. Because the church is awake, you see. And the church is starting to do their job. Starting to make their voices heard. We got to continue to make our voices heard. No time to sit back in the easy chair. This is not that kind of time we're in. We don't battle against flesh and blood, do we? Oh, we got some spiritual battles going on. There are spirits, and they're real. They're real. And you know we can defeat them just like Jesus did. For it is written, and then you speak the word. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not human that He should lie, nor a human being that He should change His mind. Does He not speak and then act? And does He promise and not fulfill? God cannot lie, nor renege on the promises He has made to us. Psalm 18, verse 30, God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for all who look to Him for protection. I sure want Him as my protection. I want my shield out there. Matthew 24:35. The earth and sky will wear out and fade away before one word I speak loses its power or fails to accomplish its purpose. What are you speaking? I don't know. I want to be speaking His word because it's powerful. And this is Jesus I'm quoting there. That's Jesus speaking. And He also says in Matthew 7, verse 24, everyone who hears my teaching and applies it to his life can be compared to a wise man who built his house on an unshakable foundation. Your building is only as strong as its foundation. And if you've ever been to Mario's house and seen some of the construction work his dad has done with him, man, did he put in a foundation. Am I right, my brother? Look, he's there. Oh, yeah. If it called for a 2x4, we were putting a 2x8 up. What can I say anymore? It's not going to go anywhere. Psalm 33, verse 4 says, for God's word is something to sing about. He is true to His promises. His word can be trusted, and everything He does is reliable and it is right. Psalm 119. Verse 130, break open your word within me until revelation light shines out. Those with open hearts are given insight into your plans. Michael W. Smith sings a song called Open the Eyes of My Heart. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see You, to see You high and lifted up. Shining in the light of Your glory, pour out Your power of love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Lord, I ask You to open the eyes of our hearts through Your word. so that we may be able to see you and to know you like never before. Okay, Dean. All right, last scripture then. Psalm 27, verse 14. I think this sums it up pretty good. Here's what I've learned through it all. Don't give up. Don't be impatient. Be entwined with the Lord. Be brave and courageous. And never, ever lose hope. Yes, keep on waiting. For He will never, never, never disappoint you. Amen. Thank you.